Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamites. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamites Amud Aleph at the very top. We're going to start with a lot of Agadata at the beginning of the daf. We're going to learn a lot of Agadata about how terrible it is to have corrupt judges and the punishment that Hashem gives us if we have corrupt judges in Klal Yisrael. And then we're going to have three questions that the Bnei Bashchar sent to Levi, and they were answered by Rav Menashe because Levi was already dead by the time they were received. And one of them is about making a temporary ohel. That's why he gets into that to begin with, because again, we're still in the sugyos of Asiyas Ohel on Shabbos. The Gemara is going to talk about walking outside wearing a cloth that has straps hanging from it, compares that with wearing a talus that has tzitzis that aren't kosher, whether that's a violation of Hotzar or not. And just before the Mishnah, on Beis, the Gemara is going to give four cases where there's some sort of Ha'arama that's being used to avoid an Isser, and we're going to discuss the parameters of when we're allowed to do Ha'arama, when we are not allowed to do Ha'arama, and then the daf is going to end with the Mishnah and some basic comments of the Gemara about using strainers on Shabbos for different types of wine. So let's pick up again. Daf Kuf Lametesa Medalef at the top, second line. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha Omer, Imre Isa Dar, Shetzaros Rabos Baos Olav. If you find that there's a generation, if you see a generation that has many tzaros that come on it, Tseu Bedok B'dayana Yisrael. Go check out the Dayanim of Klal Yisrael, because Shekol Parano Shabal Yolam Lobal Bishvil Dayana Yisrael. All of the difficulties that come to the world are only because of Dayana Yisrael. When the Jewish people have corrupt judges, that causes trouble for everybody. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Shimunazos Roshe Beis Yaakov Katzine Beis Yisrael. Listen up, the leaders of the Jewish people, Hamisavim Bemishpat, those who corrupt justice, as Kala Yeshayu Yaakeshu, and they bend anything that is straight. Bonet Zion Bedamim Virush. They build Zion with money, and they and Yerushalayim with iniquity, with sin. Rasha b'shochad yishpotu, the heads of it, well, bedam is with blood, but Rasha b'shochad yishpotu, and the heads of it judge with bribes. V'kohaneh b'mechir yoru, and the kohanim are mora with mechir, with receiving payment. U'neviyeh b'kesef yiksamu, and the neviyim are able to divine things, but they take money for it. V'al Hashem yishanu, and yet they lean on Hashem and they place their trust in Hashem. So they do everything against Hashem, but they still profess this tremendous bitachon that Hashem will take care of everything. This false security that Hashem is going to take care of them, even though they're doing such corrupt practices. Rishoyim hein, they are Rishoyim. That's the end of the pasuk by the Vegomer. So the Gemara comments, Rishoyim hein, el shetolu bitchonam b'mishamar v'haya olam. They themselves are Rishoyim, but they place all of their bitachon, all of their faith in the one who says Vaya Olam in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lefichach Mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Gimel Peronos Keneged Gimel Averos Shebiyadam. For these three averos that we just identified that they do, Shochad Yishpotu, Mechir Yoru, and Viyah B'Kesef Yiksomu, for those three averos, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about Gimel Peronios, three terrible things, and that's expressed in the following pasuk. Shenemar, as the pasuk goes on to say in the very next pasuk, Lechein Beglal, because of you, because of all of these terrible judges, all of this terrible leadership, Tzion Sada Techrash, V'Yerushalayim Ayein Tiyeh, V'Hara Bayis Levamos Ya'ar. That Tzion is going to be plowed over like a field, Yerushalayim is going to be in ruins, and the Harabayis is going to be like a forest. That everything is going to be destroyed, the entire city of Yerushalayim will be destroyed. V'Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashar Shechinas Al Yisrael, Ad Sheyichlu Shoftim V'Shotrim Ra'im B'Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring a Shechina back to Klal Yisrael until all of the evil judges are and officers are going to be removed from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Vashiva yaday alacha," I'll turn my hand against you. Ve'etzrav kavorsi gaich, I'll clear out I'll clear you out, clean you out. The dross va'sira kol b'dilayich, I'll remove all the tin. Meaning, when you're purifying something, you're purifying silver, they remove any elements of tin or any other metals. Va'shiva shoftecha k'vrishon v'yatzecha k'vatchila, and then we'll have back the shoftim like we used to have. The Yoatzim Kibbet Chila will have proper leadership again. So that's what's going to need to happen in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring back his Shekhinah to Klal Yisrael, is we're going to need to get rid of all of the corrupt leadership that may be in place. The Mordechai Maseches Brachos in Reshit Zion writes that the Maharam used to say in Birchus HaMazon, Bonei Berachem of Yerushalayim. Actually, let's read another line. We'll get to this. So Amar Ula, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta Ela B'Tzedakah. Yerushalayim is only Nifta with Tzedakah. It's only going to be redeemed with Tzedakah. Shneemar Tzion B'Mishpat Tifta the pasuk says Tzion B'Mishpat Tipade V'Shaveha B'Tzedakah. That it's going to be redeemed only with Tzedakah. So the as I'm mentioning, the Mordechai says in Maseches Brachos that the Maharam would say in Birchus HaMazon, Bonei Berachem of Yerushalayim, that he would add that word Berachem of, and the Kolbo and the Orchos Chaim say that that's not a proper Nosach, because Yerushalayim is not going to be built up Berachem of, it's not going to be built up in Rachamim, it's going to be built up with Mishpat. Mishpat is why we lost it. Mishpat is where is what's holding it back when there is not proper Mishpat. It's when we have Mishpat, when we have justice again, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild Tzion. So Tzion B'Mishpat Tipada, the Pasuk says, that we just read in the Gemara. And this is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Archaim Yisim Kuf Peches. So Darkei Moshe writes that even so, the minig is like the Maram, that the minig is Berachamav, because that which it says, Tzion B'Mishpat Tipada, does not mean to say, all it means to say is that if Klal Yisrael is done, Din Emes, if we have proper Mishpat, Bein Ish L'Chaveiro, between different people, so then Tipada Tzion, then Tzion is going to be redeemed. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to require a good dose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim, so we refer to the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It could be that the Mishpat is, that Hashem's justice is, that when we start practicing rachamim amongst each other, that could also be that it's berachamim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees our own rachamim for each other, so then the Mishpat is that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be that he's going to bring back Tzion. Amar Rav Papa, Ibatli Yihiri Batli Amgushi. If the arrogant, haughty people would be batel, then the Amgushi would be batel. Who are the Amgushi? Says Rashi, Yivatlu Mesisum Umedichim, Amasniyim Osanu. Those who are Mesis Umediach, those who cause us to do all sorts of Yisurim against the Ribbono Shel Olam, Avodazara, to reject the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if the arrogant people would go away, those people would go away as well. Ibatli Dayane, Batli Gazirpati. And if the Dayanim, the bad judges, go away, so then the idolatrous officers that there are will also go away. Ibatli, here Ibatli Amgushi. How do I know that if the arrogant people go away, the Amgushi will go away? Dixiv, the Etzrof Kibor Sigayich. The Batli Dayani Batli Gazirpati Dixiv, because the Pasuk says, Heser Hashem Mishpatecha Panei Aivecha. So you see that when one type of evil is taken care of, the other type of evil goes away as well. Amar Rabbi Milay Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. May Dixiv Shavar Hashem Mita Rishayim Shevet Moshlim. What does the Pasuk mean when it tells us that Shavar Hashem Matei Rishayim, that Hashem destroys the staff of the wicked, and the Shevet Moshlim, the Shevet of the leaders, a Mata and a Shevet are both different types of sticks. So Shavar Hashem Matei Rishayim Elu Adayanim Shenasu Makal Lechazaneihem. That's a reference to the Dayanim that become a staff for those who help them out, as Rashi says, Makal Chazneim L'Shem Shein Nosin Yad Vavin L'Nechozek Lomar Lo E Yeshliach VaAzminas Ploni LeBeizin Im Lo Tir B'Schar VaAcher Pesak Din Lo Aradenu LiKarnis L'Meshkano. That the people who work for the court, who are supposed to be working for the Dayanim, say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to subpoena this guy to court. I'm not going to do my job until you pay me some more money, until you give me more. And it's going to be a corrupt system, because people are going to bribe the Dayanim. They're not going to be willing to do anything until they get paid for what they do. Whenever there's money involved in Batei Din, it's a problem. There's always going to be issues. So the Batei Din have to work on a system where there's as little chance of bribery and of justice being corrupted by money being involved as possible. So that's a reference to Shavar Hashem Matei Rishayim. Hashem will break the Matei of the Rishayim. Shevet Moshlim. Elu Talmid Chachamim Shem Mishpachos HaDayanim. Shevet Moshlim refers to the Talmid Chachamim in the families of the Dayanim. So, meaning those Talmid Chachamim that are in the, that, as Rashi points out, Shevet Moshlim, Makala Grofin Shel Moshlim, Hainu Dayanim Rishon, Talmid Chachamim Shem Mishpachosim Shem Mishpachosim Lahem LaMakalu LaEgrof, that the Talmid Chachamim unwittingly sometimes support the evil judges. Why? Shal Yadeim Ayimam Idinosan. It's because people like these Talmid Chachamim and respect these Talmid Chachamim that they give jobs to their family members as judges. So these people are serving as judges, they're completely unqualified, and it's all the fault of the Talmid Chachamim that are in their families that bring respect to these judges. Razutcha Amar El Talmid Chachamim Shamalamdim Hilchot Sibor LeDayari Bor, that these are Talmid Chachamim that teach the how to judge and some basics of judging to Dayane Bor, to complete Amaratzim. Amar Rav Lazar Ben Malai Mishum Reish Lakish, May Dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says when the pasuk tells us ki chapechem negoa lo vadam ve'etzposechem be'avon sifsosechem dibru sheker l'shonchem avla tehege? What's that pasuk referring to? So we take phrase by phrase. Ki kapechem negoa lo vadam elu adayanim. When we say that your hands are sullied with blood, that's a reference to the dayanim, to corrupt judges. Ve'etzposechem be'avon, and your fingers with sins. Elu sofrei adayanim. That's the scribes of the judges who use their fingers to write whatever's going on in the courtroom. Sifsosechem divru sheker, your lips speak falsehood. Elu archei adayanim. That's the people who arrange the arguments of the laws. They teach the balei dinim what to say and what not to say, what we would call a lawyer. Lashonchem avla tege, and their lashon speaks or formulates avla, formulates iniquity. Elu balei dinim. That's a reference to balei dinim, to the balei din themselves, speak falsely about what actually happened. They don't get the true story out there. V'am Rabbi Lai Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak Migad Va'a. Miyom Shepirish Yosef Me'achiv. Why are we talking about Yosef all of a sudden? So this has nothing to do with judges per se, but we were just quoting Rabbi Malai. So we continue to quote things from Rabbi Malai. So he says, Miyom Shepirish Yosef Me'achiv, from the day that Yosef was separated from his brothers, Lo Ta'am Tam Yayim, he didn't drink any wine. He's called Nazir Echav Milashon Nazir, that he was knowing Naziris that he wouldn't drink any wine. Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina Amar Af Hein Lo Tamu Tam Yayin, they also didn't drink any wine, they also took upon themselves this Chumra Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says Vayishtu Vayishkuru Imo, it says that they drank and they became drunk with him. So Miklal Da'ad In the Lo, the implication is that up until that moment they hadn't done any, they hadn't done it, they hadn't drunk any wine. Of course, the big kasha that all the mefarshim on Chumash ask, all the achronim at least ask based on this Gemara, is what do you mean? I understand why Yosef now was able to drink wine because he saw his brothers and he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. If they took upon themselves not to drink any wine, all of a sudden now they, because they're with the prince of Egypt, all of a sudden they're drinking wine. Prince of the second in command of Mitzrayim, so all of a sudden they're viceroy, so all of a sudden they're drinking wine. So that's a very difficult kasha. The Ksav Sofer says that. He says another question. What does the pasuk say? Ve'ishu ve'yishkurimo. They didn't just drink with him; they got drunk with him. Frekt the ksav sofer. How entirely inappropriate that is, and unwise to get drunk with the viceroy who you need his help, and you're going to need to be very, very careful. Every word you say could be turned against you. You have to be so careful with how you act with him, and they get drunk with him. It's eino min animus. It's not derech eretz. It's nothing. What are they doing? So he says that they. He says maybe that's where Chazal are dashing this from, that they didn't drink until that point. So someone who's not used to drinking, their tolerance for alcohol is not the same as someone who's used to drinking. If a person drinks frequently, so it develops a certain tolerance, doesn't get drunk quite as easily. But someone who's not used to drinking may get drunk more easily, says the Ksav Sofer. So he says that's why they were nishtaker. That's a Chazal dashin. They weren't intending to get drunk. They just drank vayishtu. They drank a little bit vayishkaru imo. But nevertheless, they got drunk. So it must be, says the Ksav Sofer, that adi idna lo shasuklam, that they wouldn't drink it. They didn't drink anything. interesting until that moment. Ben Yoyada says that they in general avoided drinking wine because nichnas yayin yatzah sod. You drink wine and the secret comes out, and they had a very big secret that they didn't want to come out. So they didn't want to be megala the sod of the mechira, so they wouldn't be tam yayin. And Yosef also didn't want to be toim tam yayin for that reason. But again, I don't know why at this moment, meaning itaka was true, now that they both drank, then yatzah sod, the secret ultimately spilled out through this, but I don't know why at this moment they chose to do that. So says Mar V'idach, Shichrus hu delo hava, Shasya miyahava, that no, they just didn't get drunk until that point, but they had drunk wine until that point. V'am Rabbi Melayi, Rabbi Melayi says something else. B'schavra achav v'samach b'libo, zachal choshen ha-mishpat al-libo. In the schar that Aaron HaKohen saw Moshe Rabbeinu and was genuinely happy for him, so he was zocha to the choshen mishpat al-libo. That's a good daf yomi coincidence in this week's parsha, right? So there was zocha to the big day kuhuna gadola that we read about in this week's parsha. Aaron was zocha to it because of his good heart, and that he was genuinely happy for Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is the choshen mishpat has to do with the heart, because that's where it's placed, as Rashi points out. Shaya gadol mimenu v'kodem l'Moshe nigli shchina al Aaron, meaning Aaron was older than him, and prior to Moshe having any sort of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking to Hashem, having any sort of nevuah, Aaron had it first. And even though Aaron was speaking to Hashem first, the fact that Moshe surpassed him didn't cause him any sort of kinnah. Normally, the Gemara says the only two people are not don't become jealous of are their own children and their own students. Aaron was a brother. Brothers tend to become jealous of each other. So that's the guy. That's a relationship that works in the other way. Brothers tend to become more jealous of each other than other people become of each other. So even with all that working against him, that he didn't have any sense of jealousy, and that he was genuinely happy for him, that was the great schar that he got the choshen mishpat al libo. Sholchule bnei bashka lelevi kila mahu. And by the way, it's not just that it's on the heart, just ha'ara. The Urim V'tumim in the choshen mishpat is ultimately when we no longer have nevuah, how we communicate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's sort of a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, short term, I communicate with Moshe more directly. Long term, you're going to be the house of communication, meaning the communications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to work through you and through your children. Okay, Sholchule b'nei Bashka l'Levi. So b'nei Bashka sent the following shailas to Levi. Kila mahu, are you allowed to set up a canopy on Shabbos? Is a kila okay on Shabbos? Keshusa b'karma mahu, can you plant hops in a vineyard? So is that a violation of Kilei Kerem? Why wouldn't it be a violation of Kilei Kerem? Says Rashi, Himalon shegadol ala hage mahu b'karma yereku uklayim b'kerem o ilan huve eno klayim b'kerem. The issue is, do we consider this yerek? Do we consider it a vegetable, or do we consider it a tree? If we consider it a vegetable, that makes klayim b'kerem. If we consider it a tree, so a tree in a vineyard is not considered klayim. So that was the shaila. They don't know what we consider hops, what category it belongs to. So that's shaila number two. Shaila number three they sent to Levi, Meis bi yom tov mahu. If someone dies on Yantif, how do you care for the body? What's the Chavar Kedisha allowed to do? Are you allowed to arrange for Kvura in any way? What do we do when someone dies in Yantif? So those are the three shailas. Ada'azil nachnav shei delevi. So while the message was sent, by the time the message had gotten there, Levi had already passed away, so he was not able to answer the question. So Amar Shmuel, Rav Menashe, Shmuel, who I guess was going through Levi's mail and was trying to receive all the shailas that Levi normally received, said to Rav Menashe, Ichachimas shalach lehu. If you feel like you're smart enough to answer these questions, if you feel like you're confident that you know the answers to these questions, send them answers to these questions. So shalach lehu, kilach. So in terms of the first question, can you set up a canopy? He said, look, I looked into it. I looked in every possible tzad heter we could possibly have. It doesn't exist. There's no heter for kila. So v'lishlchlu k'drami bar Yecheskel. What do you mean there's no heter for kila? Why doesn't he just tell him, like Rami bar Yecheskel said, we just learned yesterday, that Rami bar Yecheskel says that if you korichal echuto mashicha, that if you have it somehow connected to the bed from before Shabbos, you're allowed to spread out the canopy on Shabbos. He looked on every tzad heter and he found nothing. You don't have to look that far. We learned a heter gomor, as long as it's connected previously. That's our heter with, that's why we hold you're allowed to to pull out the awning of a stroller, right? If the because it's already connected there before Shabbos, so and it's made to constantly be opened and closed. So in the way that it's already set up, so that's why we pull it out, we push it and push it back, even though it's making an ohel. So anyway, so how could you not think of that? So he says, no, l'fisha inan b'nei Torah, because they're inan b'nei Torah, so I don't want to give them any kulas. So whatever kula I give them, they're going to take that kula 10 steps further, so I'd rather not give them any kulas. So he told them there's no tzad heter. So why didn't you just tell them it's asur? Yes, tell them there's no tzad heter. I looked all over and there's nothing I could find for you, because when you're dealing with inan b'nei Torah, they sometimes want to know that you try to find every possible way out of the halacha that you could possibly find. But it was a blatant lie, l'chora. In the Shar Mitzvot and Balacha, he quotes from the Sefer HaChafetz Chaim, not to be confused with the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. The Sefer HaChafetz Chaim from Rabbi Chaim Palagi. Rabbi Chaim Palagi is a prolific author. He wrote a lot of different Sefarim, a lot of which I've never heard of before, including the Sefer HaChafetz Chaim. In Simin Yud Tes also Lamed Zayin, says, Mikan Mavur Demuter L'Shaker Kadei Shelo Yavo L'Hakel B'Yisurim. That you're allowed to lie in order to prevent people from violating Yisurim. Lying is a terrible thing. Mijvar Sheker Tirchak, the Pasuk says, Chasamah Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, Chazal tell us, but it's a very high value in Judaism. Truth is a very high value in Judaism, but it's not the highest value in Judaism. The Gemara tells us several exceptions to the Isser to tell a lie. Mishan Mnei Shalom, person is allowed to lie about where who hosted him, so it doesn't cause too much trouble for his host. He's allowed to lie about his learning. He's allowed to lie about being with his wife. There are a number of things that one is allowed to lie about. So one of the things, apparently from this Gemara, that one is allowed to lie about is if it's going to protect people from violating halachos, one is allowed to lie. Keshusa b'karma irvuvia. Second shaila that they wanted to know about kilei hakerem, he says that it's irvuvia. It is klayim when you plant hops in a vineyard. It's a mix. It's a mixture that we don't want. I v'lishchlu k'd Rabbi Tarfon. Why didn't he send him a kula like Rabbi Tarfon holds? What does Rabbi Tarfon hold? The Tanya Kishos. Rabbi Tarfon Omer in klayim bekerem. V'chamorim klayim bekerem. Rabbi Tarfon says that it's not kilei hakerem when you plant hops in a vineyard. The Chum say it is, but why didn't he tell them that we could follow Rabbi Tarfon? And especially because v'kaimelan kolamekel baritz halacha kamosu b'chutz laritz. The Gemara tells us that in Rashi points out b'brachos periketzad that anyone who has a more lenient opinion in the halachos of let's say of klayim from the context of our Gemara in Eretz Yisrael, although we don't follow the more lenient opinion in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laretz, where the Isser is not as severe of an Isser, where the halacha is always going to be like him in Chutz Laretz. So why didn't he send him like Rabbi Tarfon? Because after all, Rabbi Tarfon is Mekel, so shouldn't we say, at least in Chutz Laretz, the halachos kamoso, they could follow Rabbi Tarfon? Answer Gemara, Lefi She'en and B'nei Torah. Again, he wouldn't send him that because they're Ein and B'nei Torah, so he didn't want to send them any kulas. Tosos over here, V'lishlach Luk Rabbi Tarfon, Tosos Haloparach Lish. Rabbi Yoshia. There could have been a better kula that he would have sent them. Rabbi Yoshia is of the opinion that a person is not chayav for kilei hakerem as she is rechita usara vichartzan b'mapolos yad, that a person needs to plant three different minim all together in the same basic vicinity of each other. That only then is it going to be klayim v'kerem. So he says that maybe we didn't send him that because lo sfir like Rabbi Yoshia. We don't hold like Rabbi Yoshia at all. That even though normally kalamekel ba'aretz halach kamos b'chutzars, Rabbi Yoshia has been completely outvoted, which is a strange thing to say, Tulsa says, because the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin sounds like we do paskin like Rabbi Yoshia. Not only has he not been completely outvoted that he doesn't even get a consideration in Kolamekel Baaretz, but it sounds like we paskin, but we paskin like him. Tulsa several rayas that we don't paskin like him from other Gemaras that we go against Rabbi Yoshia. Then at the end of Tulsa says, okay, Nihidulos Firlik Rabbi Yoshia, we call Malcolm Lishluk Rabbi Yoshia, Kolamekel Baaretz, Alachamos Bechutzlars. Even if we're not going to paskin like him, at the very least, he should be considered in the discussion of Kolamekel Baaretz that we should follow him in Chutzlars. So Tulsa develops a rule. Vieshlomer, Tulashayach Lememer Hachi, El Bemin Shel Iser, Daha Matiro Choshvo Min Heter Baaretz halacha kamosa b'chutz laretz. When we say kol mekel ba'aretz, halacha kamosa b'chutz laretz, we mean someone who's mekel with a certain type of min, someone who says that a certain type of plant is heter and not iser, so we're going to paskin that that's heter in chutz laretz. Al b'davar sheinu toli al b'zriya, but in other halachos relating to klayim, in terms of how you plant it, how closely they're planted to each other, all the halachos relating to the actual planting, once we know that we're dealing with minim that are usher to plant together, with types of plants that you cannot plant together, so then there's no rule in terms of how you plant it that we necessarily follow the more lenient opinion. We only follow the more lenient opinion when identifying what's klayim, which has a certain svara to it, that the idea is that in chutz laretz, the whole issur is only midrabanan to begin with. So the rabbanan were only we're only machmir on the most severe forms of klayim, that which is undoubtedly klayim according to everybody. But if something is not even a min that's klayim according to everybody, the rabbanan are not going to be machmir on that in chutz laretz. But in terms of how you plant klayim, so it's totally on what's called a mixture. So if we pass that something is called a mixture, so then it's going to be called a mixture in chutz laretz as well. So machriz rav. Haiman to buy the mizruk shusa b'karmel lizra. Rav announced anyone wants to plant hops in his vineyard, he can go ahead and do it. It's no problem. Rav Amu Chasida mangi dilave. Rav Amu Chasida said not only you're not allowed to do it, but he gave malchus for anyone who would do it. Rav Mesharshia yavle pruta latinok nachri v'zarele. Rav Mesharshia would pay a non-Jewish child to do it, meaning as Rashi points out, kasavar b'chutz laretz shari. He held it's mutter to plant klayim in this way in chutz laretz. But he wanted to be Mishana as much as possible, make as much of a shinui as possible, so he gave a non-Jewish child to do the planting of this klayim. The Chassam Sofer raises the question. We said the Fishenim B'nei Torah, Chassam Sofer says, that which were machmir on them and klayim, what was the whole issue whether hops are considered klayim or not? Is it a zera or is it an ilan? Right? If it's a zera, then it's klayim. If it's an ilan, it's not klayim. So when you tell them it's not klayim, great kula, right? So what are we doing? We're identifying it as an ilan. When you're machmir, and if you want to be machmir on them, so l'fishen b'nei Torah, you're going to be machmir. So then, what are you saying that it's a zera, that it's not an ilan? Okay, great. What if the halacha is really that it is an ilan, but we're just being machmir on them? Well, there are chumras of being an ilan and kulas of being an ilan. So as much as we're trying to be machmir in the world of klayim, we're being makel in the halacha of arla. When you tell them, oh, we have to be machmir that this is considered a zera, it's not considered an ilan. So what about arla? Arla's only now we got an ilan. So then they're going to be makel in the halachos of arla. So in general, whenever you have chumras, you have to be so careful, because when you're machmir in one halacha, very often that chumra is a chumra maybe l'day kula. So ask some suffer, what's going on over here? And especially if you have to be machmir on one issue or the other, arla or klayim, arla is much more severe, because arla in chutz laretz, the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, is halacha l'moshe misinai. Klayim in chutz laretz, the Gemara in Kiddushin l'amitas tells us, is not halacha l'moshe misinai, it's only d'rabbanan. So he says, mikan raya brura l'shitas Rashi, he says, some suffer, Rashi in sota daf mem gimel mbeis, Ain Arla and Chutz Laretz no igela bekerem. That Arla and Chutz Laretz is only on grapes. There's no Arla on other things in Chutz Laretz, and that's why we weren't worried about the kula that's going to emerge from this. Okay, so again, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, so you used to give, Rav Mesharshia used to pay a non-Jewish child to plant the hops in the vineyard. Why not just ask a Jewish child to do it? Well, Asi the Misrach. He didn't want the Jewish child to get into the habit of planting klayim, what could be viewed as klayim. It's not going to be good chinuch for the Jewish child. Tosfos writes that Rabbeinu Tam permitted when there was a bris milah on Yom Kippurim. So what do you do with the koshal bracha? No one's allowed to drink the koshal bracha. So Rabbeinu Tam says they would give it to a tinok. Asi the Misrach. He says no. That's only by a davar kavua. That's only something that could happen more consistently. This is babies born. It happens to be a week before Yom Kippur. The bris happens to be on Yom Kippur. That's not a davar kavua. That's a once in a long while kind of thing. So then you can give it to a tinok. But to pay a child to constantly be planting the klayim, that's going to be a problem. The Ran writes that this is only when the tinok is doing something for us. But whatever the tinok does for himself, we don't have to worry about asil misrach. That's what the Rashi Rashi writes in the Shuvah as well, Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Beis, that we only say something when we're doing it, we don't have a problem when the Tinok is doing it for the sake of the Tinok, because he says when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Gemara says Yavinu Liyanuka, that we give a child to eat on Yom Kippur when it's Litzorech the Tinok. But so apparently you're allowed to allow a child to do an iser when it's for his own tzaruch, when it's for his own benefit, but not when it's for the benefit of an adult. But again, these halachas are somewhat complicated. We have to be careful what's an iser drabban, what's an iser daraisa, child that's above the age of chinuch versus below the age of chinuch. So a lot of issues here. This is not halacha right now. So says Gemara, v'litein le'gadol nachri. So instead of asking a non-Jewish child, why don't they ask an adult non-Jew to do it? Why doesn't he give it to a gadol nachri? So says the Gemara, asi l'chlufei b'Yisrael. Now we're afraid that that if you give it to a gadol nachri to do, you'll end up giving it to a Jew to do as well. So in the back of the Gemara, the Gilyonei Ashas just points out when we say give it to a gadol akum, I afelgav de'in shlichus l'katan mashen kinali de'gadol. He says no. Maybe the reason why we dafka want to give it to a child is because by a gadol there's shlichus. We paskin that even though there's no shlichus for a guy, but L'chumra we say yesh shlichus la'akum. L'chumra we're going to say that we consider as if there is shlichus for a guy. So maybe that's why I didn't want to give it to a gadol nachri and dafka gave it to a katan nachri. So says the Gilyonei Ashas, that can't be the svara, because whatever the halacha of shlichus for a guy is by a gadol, that's a guy. The same halacha will be by a katan. Where do we find the concept that there's a chiluk between a gadol and a katan? That's only by a Jew. A Jew becomes bar mitzvah. A Jew 13 makes a difference. For a guy, it doesn't make a difference if he's 13, if he's 12, if he's 10, if he's 15, it doesn't matter. There is no concept of a katan and a gadol when it comes to b'nei noach. So therefore, it will be the same. But if you hold their shlichus for a guy, for an adult guy, then you would hold that their shlichus for a child guy as well. So that's why the Gemara's kasha is a kasha. Why don't we give it to a gadol nachri? So the Gemara says, no, that's only because we're afraid of the food of Israel. That's a big discussion in the halachas of mishloach manos. If you hold that mishloach manos requires shlichus, so can you send it with a katan? Most commonly, that's the case. Rav Chaim Ezer has a tshuva about that, whether you could send it with a katan, and can you send it with a guy if you have a non-Jewish delivery man? So Pashas is that Mishloach Manos doesn't really require shlichus. Adraba, what Mishloach Manos is telling us, that the whole mitzvah, you know, the reason we call it Mishloach is the whole mitzvah is to send it. It's not your responsibility whether the person eats it or not. Your mitzvah is just to get it there. But Pashas is, it does not require a genuine shlichus. That's the chumrah they quote in Mishnah Berurah close in the Binyan Tzion, that maybe you're only yotzei if you send it through a shliach, but if you give it yourself, you're not yotzei. But if you actually look up the Binyan Tzion, he says that as a havamina for like a half a second, and then completely rejects it. He says that can't be what mishloach means, that you're only yotzei if you send it through a shliach. Okay, so says Gemara, mace. What about the third shayla that he asked? He said, how do we deal with the mace on Yom Tov? So shalaklu mace lo yisasku be lo yudon v'lo arman lo b'yom tov rishon lo b'yom tov sheni. So he said, now you can't do anything with the mace on Yom Tov, not in Yom Tov Rishon, not in Yom Tov Sheni. There's nothing you could do about it, and not with a Jew, not with a non-Jew. So says Amar Eini Vam Rabbi Yudu Bar Shila Som Rabbi Asi Uvda Havu BeKnishta DeMaon. There was a story that happened in BeKnishta DeMaon Be Yom Tov Asamach LeShabbos, where it was Yom Tov Asamach LeShabbos, meaning it was going to be 2 days of kedusha, 2 days where you can't do malacha. V'lo Yadani Imel Ofne Imel Achreil. But we don't remember if Yom Tov was on erev Shabbos or if Yom Tov fell out on Sunday. But either way, Basel came to Rabbi Yochanan. They came to Rabbi Yochanan to ask a shaila about someone who died. Vam Luhu Yisasku BeAmin, and he said, it's okay, let non-Jews be involved in the burial. V'amar Rava Meis B'Yom Tov Rishon Yisasku Bo Amin. And Rava says, if someone dies on the first day of Yantif, so you can have non-Jews be involved in the burial, as long as a Jew doesn't do any of the kvurah, that's completely okay. B'Yom Tov Sheni Yisasku Bo Yisrael, and if it's Yom Tov Sheni, you could even have a Jew be involved in the burial. V'afil B'Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, and even in Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be makel on this. Mashain came to Beitza, as opposed to what we say in Maseches Beitza, that Rosh Hashanah is not considered like other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. We're going to be on a Beitza Shenolad Bazeh, is going to be Asura Bazeh on Rosh Hashanah. It's considered one Kedusha for that, for the sake of the Muktzah status of an egg that's laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is still going to be Muktzah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But that's only there. When it comes to dealing with dead bodies and burying them, then Yom Tov Sheni, even Shel Rosh Hashanah, Hashana, you could have Jews involved in the burial. So Lefisha Einu B'nei Torah, so he said, I didn't want to send that message, because again, Einu B'nei Torah, so he just told them, you can't do anything. You're not allowed to have Jews, non-Jews, the first day Yantav, second day Yantav, doesn't make a difference, because Einu B'nei Torah, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, if I recall correctly, in Hilchos Yantav, Shulchan Aruch is Mekel, I think, to have at least on Yom Tov Sheni, to have Gayim be involved in the Kvura. Not as far as Yisaskabo Yisrael, I don't remember, but at least have Gayim involved in the burial on Yom Tov Sheni. There was, and many communities are knowing that way. There was a terrible fire a number of years ago in Brooklyn somewhere, and the Levayas were on Yom Tov Sheni. They had Yisaskabo Amin to do the Kvuras on Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, Amar Rav Yavin Bar Rafuna, Amar Rav Chaim Bar Gurya, Mesatei Vadim Bekila Ubekaskaseha V'yotzi L'Rishus HaRabim. A person can walk out on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim while he's wrapped in a canopy, even though there are strings hanging off of it, and that's not a violation that he's carrying the strings. He has nothing to worry about. So, why is this any different than what Rav Huna says? That if a person goes out with a talis that doesn't have the tzitzis tied on properly, so it's not he's not getting the mitzvah, so it's not mitzvah kilchus on Shabbos. He's chayiv for carrying the strings. He's chayiv b'chatas. So isn't this the same thing over here? You're wearing this canopy. It has these straps hanging from it. So shouldn't you be chayiv for carrying those straps? And says Gemara, tzitzis l'gabei talis chashivi v'lo batli. Tzitzis, in comparison to a talis, even when they're not tied on correctly, they're considered chashuv, and therefore they're not batel to the talis. So it says, if you are carrying those strings, we don't say, nah, they're just part of the talis. They are a separate entity. Hani lo chashivi u'batli. But these straps off of a canopy, they're not chashuv at all, and therefore they're batel, so it's not considered that you're carrying them. What's so chashuv about tzitzis? Says Rashi, mishum deshel tcheles hein. Meaning, it's not the mitzvah, apparently, because they're not mitzvahs kilchasa, you're not getting the mitzvah. So Rashi says because there's tchelis. Tchelis is very expensive, so it could be that the tzitzis cost more than the whole garment, right? If you those who wear the tchelis that we have now, it's if you it's depending which sheet you hold, like Rishon, it could be $100 for the garment itself. It's a few dollars. The tchelis much more expensive than the garments. So that's much more chashuv. If you look at Tosos, Tosos says the shein. That it's the plan that you plan on using it for a mitzvah. That's what makes it so chashuv, that you plan on actually having this set up and doing it properly, and that way it will be used for a mitzvah. That's what makes it a davar chashuv, but it's not the monetary value of it, of the tzitzis. The Rashi writes that if it was not mitzietzis at all, we say it's ena mitzietzis kilchasa. If it was not mitzietzis at all, you wouldn't be chayiv, because then it's levushehu, then it's a garment, then it's just something that you're wearing. So the talish ena mitzietzis klal is the beged, apparently is not considered a masli. The beged is considered to be a garment. So that's a question. What is that correct? Do all the Rishonim agree with that? That a beged of dalit kanfos without any tzitzis would be considered a malbush? Why wouldn't it be considered a malbush? Because it could be that any time you're doing something, you're wearing something that's usher to wear, that by definition we can't call that a malbush in halacha. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel says, what if someone wears in Yom Kippur shoes, leather shoes in Yom Kippur, goes out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, so he's chayiv chatas, right? Because when he goes out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, what's he chayiv chatas for? For carrying the shoes. What do you mean carrying? He's wearing the shoes. No, but it can't be called a malbush because it's usher to wear shoes in Yom Kippur. So mail, it's not called a malbush, so it's considered that he's carrying it and he's chayiv. So l'chora, according to that, if a woman goes out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with a levush shel ish, with a man's clothing, or vice versa, a man with a woman's clothing, it wouldn't be called derech malbush because it's usher to go out that way, and you'd be chayiv mishum otza. It would be a violation of carrying on Shabbos because it wouldn't be considered a malbush. That's the issue. This relates obviously to, if we have to make a dafyomi coincidence out of this, to Purim costumes, right? Is it considered a malbush? The Ramah we just mentioned on Shabbos says that there was a minhag to be making on shatnis midrabanan in Purim costumes, that maybe because it's not considered a malbush, because you're not wearing it for the sake of malbush, you're wearing it for some to hide, you're wearing it to hide your identity, or whatever. Okay, says Gemara, Amar Rabbah Rav Huna, Marim Adam Al Mishmeres B'yomtov, Litlos Barimonim. A person can set up a strainer on Yantif if he does a harav Rama, where he makes it that he's just putting it up not to strain the wine, but just to put pomegranates in there. Vetola bashamaram, and then once it's up, you can put sediment in there and actually strain the wine. Amravashi vudetola barimonim. That's only if you actually put pomegranates in there first. You can't just put it up almanas to do that and then use it for whatever you want. So Maishna mehad the Tanya. Why is that any different than the following? Matilin sheikh of Amo the Tsarachamoy Shlul, Tsarachamoy Rasur, Echot Shechas Marim, Echot Shechas Saurim, Afli Sheishlan Yashan Marim Vishosim and Achadash, that a person is allowed to start making beer, the Tsarachamoyed, even if he already has beer, he could be make a Rama and be Shosim and Achadash, to say that he's doing it to drink from the new beer. Apparently, you don't need to make any simen when you start the process to show that you're going to use it for Davar Amutter. You could just do the Arama and drink from it, and that's fine. So why over here do we need to make a simen at the beginning that you have to put the Rimonim in before you do anything? So Hasam lo mucha milsa, hacha mucha milsa. Now the difference is that it's not so clear over there that you're doing an Isser, because no one knows that you have beer, that you already have beer in your house, and that this is really unnecessary. So it's not muchach that it's an Isser in the first place. But over here, when you're setting up a strainer, it is mucha milsa that there's an Isser. Amalei Rabbanan Ravashi, Chazimar Haitzum Rabbanan Rav Huna Barav Chivan Shemei, Vamalei Rav Huna Barabi Chilvan Shemei, there was a Tzum Rabbanan, Deshakal Barad De Tuma, he took a clove of garlic, Umanach Bebarza De Dana, and he put it in the spigot of a barrel, Vamalei Atzuika Mechavina, and he said, now I'm just doing it to put it away. Va'azil V'naim V'mavra Va'avar Lahachisa V'sir Piri. And another harama that this guy did was that he would go to sleep on a boat, and when he would wake up on the other side of the water, he would say as if he's just going to sleep, not realizing that the boat is actually going anywhere. So he would wake up on the other side of the water, and then he would go watch his peiros. Va'amar, and he would say, "Analameinim kama chavina." What do you mean? I was just going to take a nap. I didn't have any other intentions. Samlu harama kaamrit harama b'drabanan he v'tzurim rabanan lo asi lemevel lechadchila. That's a harama on a din drabanan, and we have no concern that a talmud chacham is going to come to directly violate those isurim if we allow him to utilize the harama. So apparently what we see from this Gemara is two very important chilukim, that even when we allow harama, there's a difference between whether you're doing the harama on a din drabanan or doing the harama to get around a din d'oraisa. And second is that we're more makel with haramas for talmidei chachamim than we are with other people. It's interesting, some things we say that talmidei chachamim have to be more machmiran than regular people, that if a talmud chacham is going to live by this standard, so then the amaratzim are going to by nature they're going to fall to a lower standard, so the talmidei chacham have to keep higher standards. But when it comes to harama, where the entire concern is that one is going to violate the isur directly, well, we have much less concern that a talmud chacham would violate the isur directly than that someone else will. Now in terms of the chiluk between the d'rabban and the d'oraisa, this is very nogeh. The poskim discuss. We do a harama, a very big harama every year, called Mechiras Chametz. We sell our chametz to a non-Jew, and that way we get around the fact that we own all this chametz. So the poskim discuss whether you're allowed to do this on chametz gom or d'oraisa, or you can only do it on chametz d'rabanan. Because if it's chametz d'oraisa, it's a harama to get around din d'oraisa. So some of the poskim are mekel because they say that you're allowed to do harama on a din d'oraisa when the harama is to avoid violating an iser. Meaning at the end of the day, you're not violating an iser. It's not a harama to get around a mitzvah versus harama of an iser versus harama of a mitzvah. So others say I'm trying to remember. I don't know what I was about to say. Okay. So anyway, so there's a lot of discussion in terms of chametz gomer and whether we permit a harama. Others say it's not a harama at all. What kind of harama? Well, there's a mamish mechira gemura with shtaros and multiple kinyanim, and it's binding, and it's not a harama. That's it's 100% a regular mechira. You're allowed to sell things. There's nothing wrong with selling anything. Okay. So anyway, so that's the issue of harama. There's a lot more to say on harama. Maybe we'll have a shiur in it 1 week. Okay. Says the Mishnah. A person is allowed to pour water over wine dregs without any concern that it's a violation of borer, that you're sorting the water from the dregs. That's fine. And you're allowed to strain the wine through cloth and through a palm basket. You're allowed to put an egg through a mustard strainer. And you can make anumlin on Shabbos. We'll see what that is. kos b'yomtov b'lagin b'moed b'chavis. On Shabbos, you can only make this anumlin drink in a kos, in a smaller cup. On yontov, you could make it in a lag, and on moed, you can make it even in a barrel. These are different types of kelim, one larger than the next. Rabbi Tzadok omer hakol lefi orchin. Rabbi Tzadok says it all depends on how many guests you're going to have. You can make as much as you need for the guests that you're going to have. Amar Ziri, Nosin Adam Yayin Salul, Umayim Salul, and Tocha Mishmeres B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to put, Ziri says, clear wine through a strainer on Shabbos. Ve'inu Choshesh, you don't have to worry about it. Aval Achurin, but if it's murky wine, lo, that you're not allowed to do. Meisir, Mishmer Gamliel Omer, Toreid Adam Chavish Al Yayin, Yayinu Shmerev, and Nosin Tocha Mishmeres B'Shabbos, Ve'inu Choshesh, that a person is allowed to stir his barrels of wine together with the dregs, and he doesn't have to worry about any, and then put it through a strainer. He doesn't have to worry about anything. So apparently, you are allowed to put even murky wine through a strainer. It's not only yayin slulin. So tirgum is ziri bein hagisos shanu. That this is only all the yenos. This is bein hagisos, where all the wine is achurin, where all of it is murky, and they would drink it with the dregs. And therefore, it's not considered a tikkun because they would drink it that way. They would drink it in its murky state before. So it's not considered a tikkun when they would put it through the strainer. Misadnas yayin besudrin. You could strain the wine with cloth. Amr of Sim Barchia Bulvad Shalyasa Guma, provided that you don't make a guma, that you don't make from the sudar a hole in the sudar in the mouth of the kli, that the sudar doesn't make a hole in the mouth of the kli, because that would be a violation either, Rashi says, of Uvdu Dechal, or it's going to be Asili De Schita. You'll end up coming to squeeze out the cloth when the cloth dips into the kli a little bit and gets soaked. So we're afraid that you're going to come to do Schita on the cloth. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from Kfifa Mitzvahs tomorrow.